WBEZ is supported by Rivian. Off-road electric Joyride ride-alongs are available in downtown Chicago in a Rivian truck or SUV from September 19th to the 21st at the corner of East Illinois and North Michigan. Plus, a chance to win a two-night stay at a luxury Chicago hotel. Terms apply. No purchase necessary. Entry period is September 12th through the 21st. Must be 21 to enter. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. Visit Rivian.com/Chicago Sweepstakes to enter.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Homeless encampments, they're continuing to pop up across the city, with more unhoused Chicagoans using tents and other temporary structures to turn public parks and sidewalks into a home. And neighboring residents, well, they don't like it. They say the encampments are dirty, unsafe, and sometimes prompt violence. It's a massive issue that's getting national attention. Here's President Trump announcing his plan for clearing them in Washington, D.C.
We're going to be removing homeless encampments from all over our parks, our beautiful, beautiful parks, which now a lot of people can't walk on. They've been very dirty, got a lot of problems.
Today, the number of people experiencing homelessness in Chicago is down from last year, but from local residents to city government, people still have different ideas for how to approach and resolve the problem. At the table was Cindy Soto, Chicago's chief homelessness officer, David Wywolowski, Director of Outreach and Health for the Knight Ministry, Doug Schenkelberg, who's Executive Director of the Chicago Coalition to End Homelessness, and Mark Ishag, who's CEO of Thresholds, one of Illinois' largest providers of community mental health services. Now, our panel will help break down a few things for you. One, the latest on some of the city's largest homeless encampments and what might go into clearing them. Two, how to balance the needs of residents at the same time. And three, how homeless Chicagoans are being connected to shelter and other services they need. We began with reaction to the president's move to clear encampments in D.C. Here's Mark.
Well, I think his approach to all things housing and homelessness during this term has been cruel, to say the least, counterproductive, and an assault on basic human rights. Housing is a right, and unfortunately in this country that right is not available to millions of people, including thousands in Chicago.
Yeah,
we know what the answer to homelessness is, and that is more housing. It's affordability, it's better paying jobs, and it's access to wraparound services like Thresholds provides to get people from where they are on the streets, under viaducts, under bridges, in parks, to where they need to be. Mm-hmm. We have the solutions, and we simply don't have the resources to make that happen.
Doug, what went through your mind as you listened to the president speak there?
So, you know, echoing what Mark said, the president's approach to homelessness is about hiding it and getting out of line of sight. It's not about a solution. Homelessness fundamentally is a housing problem. Mm-hmm. And we only solve homelessness by increasing the amount of housing that we have available, increasing the amount of services we have available to those who need it. And, you know, without real investment, homelessness is just going to continue to grow. And so what the president's proposed, both with this, you know, latest assault in D.C., but with his budget proposal, with his executive order, on and on and on, all of that is about punishing people for experiencing homelessness rather than helping solve the problem.
Your thoughts, David?
His executive order is too aggressive. It's inhuman. In all of this, I'm remembering the people who we're working with, our clients on the streets, are humans who have experienced trauma, who have other issues going on in their lives, and that's falling through the cracks in this type of aggressive approach.
So, Cindy, let's bring this back to Chicago and just sort of get a picture of how big a problem homelessness is here. I said that numbers have dropped since last year. We obviously know what was happening last year with more new arrivals in town needing shelter as well. But there is a growing number of Chicagoans who are still experiencing homelessness today and experiencing it for the first time even. Why?
Yeah, I mean, everything that has been said is absolutely correct. It can be the lack of social services, the lack of assistance that's needed in communities that people want to be in, and also the lack of housing. Housing is the solution to homelessness, and we need to have accessible, homeless-centered, needed units that can serve everybody's entire needs, but also that can connect them to a social safety net in their community, to their job, to healthcare, to public transportation. So without building in, you know, community areas that have a lot of assets, we also don't allow for the individual to thrive fully. So we need to ensure that the city of Chicago could have, you know, access to affordable housing in every part of the city, all 77 neighborhoods, but also that's affordable to the person and with the additional services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Doug, in January, of the 7,400 or so people experiencing homelessness at the time of the point in time count, 1,300 are individuals who are residing in unsheltered locations. Mm-hmm. So very similar to what we're speaking about right today. Those numbers from January, what did they tell you?
Well, I mean, one, if you look at those numbers, that was a 38% increase over the year prior when you pull aside, mm-hmm, asylum seekers. And then the year prior, there's a 25% increase.
Right.
Already. So the number just keeps going up, right? And, you know, as you already noted, we're seeing it. When you go through the city of Chicago, you see more tents in parks, you see more tents under viaducts. So as the problem just continues to grow, we have more and more threats to cut the already too low of funding available for housing and services, right? So we're going the exact opposite direction than we need to be going.
Mm-hmm. Does that look that way to you, Cindy? Doug mentioned we're seeing more tents around the city. When I drive around, I notice a lot, but from your mm-hmm viewpoint.
Well, the point in time count from this year let us know that there has been a decrease of 60% of the homeless population. However, there is an increase in unsheltered homelessness for individual people, predominantly men. The city is looking to provide more shelter options, low barrier shelter, ideally, for mm-hmm people who are looking to go into shelter if they so choose, but we don't have enough shelter beds to ensure that all of our unsheltered population have the right shelter that can serve their needs. So there are shelter beds available, but they might not be available 24 hours. They might just be overnight shelter beds.
And so as I alluded to earlier, residents in general have concerns here, right? They are citing things, as you heard from the president, that it's dirty and it's not safe. Sometimes there have been violent incidents, depending on which encampment we're talking about. And so I want to hear from each of you at the table how you think we balance their needs, the residents, and the fact that they need to also have access to these parks. Balancing that with the needs of the people who need to live there because they just don't have a home. You first, David.
Yeah, well, first, I don't want to create unnecessary fear because a lot of the people we see are just trying to survive from day to day out on the street. So I just want to be cautious about that fear element. Now, do fights sometimes happen? Are sometimes drugs being exchanged and there might be trouble? Yes, that's also happening. So I think it's a balance of recognizing what are the needs on the streets and also letting residents and neighborhoods know that things are happening. I think communication is really important about that. Here's what we're trying to do. Get that word out to the residents.
Yeah. I mean, I think places like Thresholds and the Night Ministry and others, you know, we're actively engaged in those encampments, in meeting people, engaging them. You know, we have mm-hmm a tagline at Thresholds, relentless pursuit of engagement. And our homeless outreach teams and David's, we are out there all the time.
How do you think that helps?
Well, it helps by building a relationship. So many people that are living on the streets and in encampments, people with mental illness or substance use challenges, have been disenfranchised from the system, some since birth. And living in an encampment is not a choice per se for so many of these people. This is a necessity. It's just someplace to sleep. But when we engage them and we talk about opportunities, it builds a relationship that helps us move people from where they're at to where they need to be. And it's not just encampments. We have a project with Starbucks, a really innovative project at their highest volume stores in Chicago where people are experiencing homelessness and mental illness, and engaging them in those places and helping them as much as we can find temporary or permanent housing.
Yeah.
But it all gets back to housing, Sasha. There is just not enough affordable housing. You know, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and we purchased an SRO on the north side of Chicago called The Glen. And we were able, because of philanthropy and city support, to save a 100-room SRO that would otherwise likely have fallen into private hands and used for relatively high-income, small studio apartments. Mm-hmm. So until we figure out as a city and a state, as a country, how we're going to both preserve SROs and build more affordable housing, we cannot criminalize our way out of this problem.
And you're talking about single-room occupancy.
I'm sorry, single-room occupancy SROs.
Cindy, your thoughts on balancing the needs of residents and those who are unhoused.
Yeah, I mean, the work that's happening on the ground, it's immeasurable, to be honest with you. The city also has a housing outreach group that goes out with our community partners. We fund 13 different street outreach organizations that serve the unsheltered population. This is in addition to the services offered in shelters by our delegate agencies. And then there are about 12 other government-funded organizations and services that are offered as well for the people who are unsheltered. We also have our public health department go out. They currently serve a couple of key encampment areas, but also support across the entire city through the CARE program, which they go with their van across the city, provide wound care, health care, other opportunities for the unsheltered population. We also have to navigate the needs of community, and we recognize that as a city.
Yeah.
And that's why the mayor has really encouraged and pushes all of us to think about the full force of government, how each of our city agencies can apply the kind of solutions we want to see that's human-centered and compassionate. So we have at the table, I mentioned CDPH, but we also work with CTA. We also work with libraries, CPS, city colleges. You know, oftentimes people don't think about, you know, who is homeless. Mm-hmm. It might be what they see as an encampment at a viaduct, but there are at least one out of four in the city of Chicago, one out of four homeless individuals are young people, either a youth or a child.
Right.
And they might be living doubled up. They might be at a family shelter.
That's right.
And although they're out of sight, they too need housing. We do need solutions for them as well.
That
so
person that's couch surfing, right?
Right.
Also needs a place to live.
Absolutely.
A shelter of their own.
So we embrace the entire community through our partnerships as well.
Doug.
Yeah. So you mentioned safety and the concern of safety. Where my head goes in that moment is the safety of those folks who are unhoused. Like when we're talking about public safety, they're the ones at the greatest risk of being harmed, being exposed to violence, the extreme weather, whether it be...
They're outside.
Yes. Harassment, being attacked. We've heard stories, you know, throughout the years of folks who are unhoused being victims of attack. So it's both sides of the equation that we need to talk about. And we also need to have an honest conversation about, is it an issue of safety or is it an issue of discomfort for folks? And if folks are uncomfortable with seeing people who are unhoused or having to live in tents, then I think we should have a conversation about how do we create the resources necessary so they don't have to live in a tent to begin with.
I think there's a lot of conversation that people shy away from about the uneasiness about what it looks like.
Right.
The aesthetic.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And if that's really your concern, then we need to talk about the real solutions. It's not about making those individuals move from that spot to another spot where they set up a tent. It's about the housing. It's
more
about
housing.
The services.
David, as we hear Doug talk about safety there for the folks who are unhoused, I'm thinking of that deep network that you all have at the Knight Ministry, sort of bringing services to people in the encampments. Tell us more about how you bring healthcare to them and what that looks like.
Sure. So we approach an encampment like we're visiting somebody's home, basically. I know they're out in public, but we treated it with respect that it is their home that we're approaching. So we announce who we are as we're walking up and say what services we're offering, and part of that is medical care. So our medical staff do medical care on the street. If need be, we bring them up onto our bus or our van to get more in-depth treatment if that's what's needed. Our case managers are also working with people navigating the housing system, which is very challenging and limited. And we have food, water, and maybe we're contributing to the more of the tents you're seeing, but we provide tents, sleeping bags, again, because if somebody's going to be sleeping outside, at least having a tent is better than just sleeping out in the elements without even that tent around you.
Yeah.
So those are the different things we provide. Yeah.
Now, Sandy, Alders have been complaining that the city's approach to handling encampments and to addressing the overall homelessness issue, that it needs to be more straightforward and it needs to be more clear. Do you think that they have a point when they say that?
I think government can be always more transparent in general, right? I've been in the public sector for quite some time, and I see my role as being able to provide that kind of transparency. We have had, you know, a lot of communication with our city council members, and we try to address the issues that they bring to our attention. You know, when we don't have the resources, we try to supplement it with another resource until we find the resource, and the resource that we can't immediately offer to everyone who needs it is affordable housing, and we can't afford we can't offer it across all of the community areas. And there are some people that we really want to reside where they know what to call home.
Yeah.
So if they want to stay there, those resources have to be there. But in addition to the social services, we also go out to about 30 encampments with our Department of Streets and Sanitation and provide cleanups every month. And in 2024, we provided over 500 cleanups at homeless encampments.
Last year, the city created a unified shelter system for migrants as well as the city's homeless shelter system. And we talked with Alderman Ray Lopez of the 15th Ward on the Southwest Side this morning. Here's what he said. He said that the Department of Family and Support Services resources went from addressing homelessness to assisting migrants.
As this crisis was exploding, the unfortunate thing was that we'd get answers from Family and Support Services that, you know, this is why we need more money, because we don't have enough beds to shelter the homeless in Chicago. But it was our indigenous homeless, as I would call them, that were being pushed out to make way for the migrants.
Something Alderman Lopez says there is fact. We know that there aren't enough shelter beds in the city. So is this adding to the strain of there not being enough beds?
For the new arrival community, that was a separate initiative that was funded by federal dollars as well as state and city and county. And it did not pull away from our homeless service team. It was an effort that was led through a different strategy. And now with the One System Initiative, it's unified with the homeless service team. So all of the shelters serve anyone who is unhoused. Now, I will also note that, you know, the need of serving people who are finding themselves homeless does not apply to only one person or one individual that had some sort of immigration issue. It applies to anybody who cannot find a secure job or cannot get the resources. So it is not a migrant issue. It, you know, it's an interesting way to say indigenous homeless. You know, but I do think that chronic homelessness needs to be addressed. And I know the mayor is pouring into that as much as we can as well.
Mark.
Yeah, I think that so that community members and businesses in Chicago, elected officials locally and nationally, that are rightfully expressing frustration in our collective ability. While they are doing that rightfully, I would add, they all need to stand up with us and say, we need more resources.
Mm-hmm.
We need specific either taxes or service fees.
So are you saying like too much, not, you know, well, a lot of complaints, but not enough action?
It's important to air the frustration, like, and to acknowledge, like, you can't hide this problem. And moving people from encampments in some ways is just hiding them, moving them someplace else. It's not a solution. But for those that are, and us all are frustrated about this, we're also advocating for the resources that we need. If folks think that what we are experiencing today is bad, if Trump's executive order were to be implemented fully with his, and it appears Congress's vision, the situation we have now would be like Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
They are threatening to take money away from places like us that are doing what's called housing first. And that is getting people into housing, often very low barrier housing, not necessarily a shelter, but what we call safe havens, getting them off the street and into very low barrier housing for not a lot of money. That is being threatened because the ideology says those folks with mental illness and substance abuse problems and other challenges, they don't need housing. They need to be institutionalized.
So what's the impact if we take the focus off of housing first?
Correct. The impact is enormous. There could be tens of thousands more people on the street than we are experiencing today.
And where do they go? The people staying at encampments, where do they go, right? We just talked about the fact that there's not enough shelter beds. Where are they going? What are their options?
I'm at a loss. I mean, there aren't other options for them because there is this reduction of funding. You know, the Trump administration's executive order leans on trying to do involuntary institutionalization of folks who are experiencing homelessness, which is absolutely the wrong path to go down. They try to have, you know, to Mark's point, like the opposite of housing first, where they mandate sobriety before someone can have access to housing. They mandate other conditions on folks. And what we know is housing first works, right? That it's common sense that someone is going to have a much better ability to, you know, manage substance use, to manage their health conditions if they're stably housed and not sitting on the street. So we need to focus on those things that we know works, and that takes real financial investment, which is exactly the opposite of what the Trump administration has proposed.
Doug and David, the reality of the situation is, as we talk about clearing these encampments, sometimes people don't want to leave. What are some of the reasons that they give you for not wanting to take that option of a shelter bed, David?
It might be a community that they're already connected with, and so they know the people, they know the area, and they feel safe there. So that's one reason I know for sure.
Yeah. Anything else you're hearing, Doug?
I mean, I think one thing that's really important is to delineate between a shelter bed and housing, right? So there's a lot of reasons why a shelter bed might not work, because they're in a community, because the shelter is in a different geographic location that's separate from the services that they're utilizing, might not, you know, accept couples. There's a whole host of reasons why they might not go. But, you know, when housing is offered, that's a very different conversation. And it takes time. You know, there's a process. You know, Mark referenced the trust building that you know, providers have to do. But when housing is available, people, by and large, accept that and move down that road.
Yeah. Encampments at Gompers and Humboldt Park were cleared, and people were offered housing in shelters or permanent housing, as you just outlined. Alderman Fuentes of the 26th Ward and Chicago Park District Superintendent Carlos Ramirez Rosa, they're calling this a victory. Was that enough?
No. Just to start, I mean, one, you know, I have great respect for Alderman Fuentes and Commissioner Ramirez Rosa. The housing and shelter that they assembled for Humboldt Park is great. But the reality is, if folks, one of the things that they did with that policy is say that people can't come back to Humboldt Park. Other folks can't come and camp in Humboldt Park.
Mm-hmm.
Our position is, as long as we don't have adequate housing for everyone that needs it, we can't shut down public spaces to folks. So, and I you know, appreciate the city's position. It's a complicated issue and a complicated space. But we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that folks, that our issue or our focus is on those who are unhoused and their needs.
Mark, let's go back to what you brought up earlier, right? The whole housing first, money being moved away from that approach and being moved away from organizations like yours prioritizing housing, and then we take care of your resource needs. Tell us more about how housing, just the importance there, how it leads to just better health options to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do have to say, though, that I think we got a letter, all of us, from the Pritzker administration this week that reaffirmed their commitment, the state's absolute 100% commitment to housing first and harm reduction services and housing. So that was a really important.
That's a positive.
It was a very positive. I mean, that's what we expect, and that's what we get from the Pritzker administration. So we feel very good that we have a governor that's fighting hard for those that we serve and that we love. housing first and harm reduction models, there's evidence over the last 30 years that this works. I was very fortunate when I worked at the AIDS Foundation of Chicago to be involved in a landmark study that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association that looked at this very issue of people who had access to housing and those that did not. There was a randomized controlled trial, and the outcomes were exactly what you would expect, that people that got into housing first with wraparound services had better health outcomes, fewer ER visits, fewer inpatient hospitalizations. You know, at Thresholds, our tagline is home, health, and hope. And we firmly believe, based in practice and with evidence and research, that it all starts with housing. And through housing, you get access to healthcare, you're able to find employment, you're able to finish school, you get reconnected with family and friends, and you become productive, active, vibrant citizens of the community. And that, of course, leads to hope. So this is not rocket science, though a lot of my work over the years has been science, the science of housing. This ain't rocket science.
Yeah.
Home, health, and hope is the answer to this solution.
Sandy, the president's now saying that Chicago could be next. We could be the next city that he's going to send National Guard troops to. How are you wrapping your mind around that? And how is the city preparing for that potentially happening? We've learned from President Trump that sometimes what he says, he's going to do it.
Well, we see this as a war on the poor. We do believe that the president will be acting, if that were the case, unlawfully. He doesn't have legal authority to send the National Guard to the streets of Chicago.
How many times have I heard that for the past 7-8 months, that he can't legally do this, but he's doing it?
Right. So the mayor is here to ensure that we can protect people's safety and that we're doing it in a trauma-informed approach with the full force of government in the resources that we are providing to the residents of the city of Chicago. The National Guard, criminalizing and institutionalizing people will not help us get to solutions that we're looking for as a collective. I live in the city of Chicago. I am too a neighbor. I do also want to support my neighbors and my community. And I think we all could agree that we want to see communities that are thriving. And that is what the mayor is doing.
Yeah.
We are on track to get to 10,000 affordable units in his first term. We have over 3,000 that have come up, either built, preserved, or rehabbed since 2023, in just the last couple of years. So I have full faith in the mayor, and I have full faith in the administration that we're going to continue to fight for the rights of people, the human right, that they get to choose where they want to live when options are made available. And we need to provide more options that are accessible to them, just like anybody else can seek out when they have those different resources, whether it's a job, you know, a caring family,
yeah,
a safety net. So we want to make sure that people that are seeking housing can also find those resources to stabilize themselves.
We'll have to leave it there. Sandy Soto is Chicago's chief homelessness officer. David Wywalowski is director of outreach and health for the Knight Ministry. Doug Schenkelberg is executive director of the Chicago Coalition to End Homelessness. And Mark Ishog is CEO of Thresholds. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
This episode was produced and mixed by Linnea Dominic and edited by Meha Ahmed. We dive deep into how changes at the federal level affect Chicagoans, so please consider subscribing. You can also visit us at wbez.org/reset. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.